For August the 16th, 2019, we talk about Helltown, the return of the Dune board game, and we ask you to make new games by slightly altering the titles of existing games. Welcome to Level 296. My name is Cole Ross.
I'm Jala Prendes.
I'm Ben Merkel.
And you're listening to The Level. It's a podcast for people who love video games. Welcome back, Jala.
Thanks. Yeah. I'm alive.
Yeah.
This is good.
Very much alive. I didn't think you were going to be on this week because of your event, but situations conspired.
I didn't think I was going to be on. Yeah. I didn't think I was going to be on either. Surprising everyone.
Yeah.
That's all right. As you can tell, I'm not that bad off. I did my wonderful 18-hour endurance event, a Go Ruck Tough, followed by a Go Ruck Light, back-to-back. There's like a few hours in between. It's Tough is 12 hours, and a Light is 6 hours. Covered 30 miles with weight. 20 pounds plate in my ruck with gear and water. That means Nalgene bottle, 3 liters of water in a hydration bladder, as well as all of my other random stuff, as well as all of the coupons, coupon being anything heavy that Cadre tells you to pick up. So It could be a tree. It could be a tree. It could be a tire.
Is he just spotting stuff on the side of the road?
Telephone pole. There have been telephone poles and stuff that have been carried around. Sandbags, which is thankfully most of what we had to carry. Jerry cans. We also had a slosh pipe, which was a 4-inch PVC pipe filled with water,
which is
very unwieldy. Yes,
which is constantly trying to jump out of your hands as you're running.
Yes. So There's that. And so those are the things we had to carry for the various miles that we had to do. We had PT, which is, the physical training stuff, and so on and so forth, ad nauseum. So I actually had a really good time, except for during the Tough, the first part of it. About halfway through, there was this one lady. Okay, there was a lady, and then her husband or boyfriend or whatever, who were not prepared for the event at all, did not apparently train properly for it. They didn't know that they were going to have to carry weights, even though they had done other Go Ruck events before, just not a Tough. And anyway, she was just bound and determined to be upset the entire time and complain nonstop. And guess who got stuck with her carrying the pipe?
And
I got stuck listening to her, and I was about ready at one point to just turn around and take the pipe and smack her upside the head with it because she was pissing me off so bad.
It seems like it'd be easier to run in the pouring rain than to do that.
Well, the thing is that, like, we were about the same height, so it made sense for the two of us to carry the pipe together.
Yeah.
And nobody else wanted to deal with the lady. And so they put me with the lady to put up with her crap. And I mean, like, granted, the pipe was actually one of the lighter weights, but because it's a very hard thing, if you put a sandbag on your shoulder, it's soft and it'll mush around. And yes, it's heavy, but it's not as hard on my shoulder.
Yeah.
However, this thing, I've got spinal stenosis. If my traps get all jacked up, then that's a problem.
Yeah.
And guess what I've got? A very hard pipe filled with water sloshing around on my shoulders.
Just pummeling your traps. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, great. That's awesome. But that's okay. That event.
That means you've ascended from just doing physical stressful activities. You're doing emotionally stressful activities now as well.
Oh, yeah. Like, there were multiple people that wanted to, like, stab this lady. I mean, they were all very upset about this lady. But for some reason, she still stuck it out. And, like, her boyfriend, husband, whatever, was, like, also given the absolute lightest weight possible, which was the flag. The flagpole and everything was, like, 15 pounds. And he could barely hold that. And at one point, he wasn't even able to do that. And so what that meant was, normally on these events, you have a few people who aren't carrying a weight, so you can take breaks so you're not always under a weight. Well, guess what? Because these people weren't carrying their share,
nobody,
and they refused to carry their share or to quit, then that means everybody else had to carry for them and had to carry their stuff for them. Actually, at one point we had to take their rucks and everything and carry their rucks too.
Wow.
So yeah, that made me so mad. But during the light, I had a bunch of friends from out of town, a bunch of my Spartan Endurance friends and things like that show up. And even a couple of ladies from my running club, and all of them did wonderfully well. The Spartan Endurance people knew what they were in for. The ladies from my running club really didn't, but I knew that they could handle it, so it was fine. And yeah, so the light went well. In between the two, I got a nice coffee. I went and I rented a hotel just so I could go take a shower after the event.
Oh, yeah.
And then, like, me and several of the guys went and got pizza and stuff and just kind of, like, hung out before the next event happened. And then afterwards, I went to dinner with my endurance peeps that came from out of town. And it was a lot of fun. So, I mean, like, yeah, I wasn't dead at all. I came home, unpacked all my stuff. I didn't want to clean my ruck and everything because it was just dark by then, and I didn't want to get eaten up by bugs.
Yeah.
But, you know, taking it outside and trying to scrub it down in the hose. So I did that yesterday. But, yeah, it was fun. And I'm going to be doing another event. This one's going to be over in Austin in the middle of next month. It's just going to be a tough, which is 12 hours, which that's no big deal. And then I've got a tough light, another 18-hour thing going in October, the beginning of October. Mm-hmm. Also, my cut just started like today. So, you know, I'm also doing that on top of all the other things that I do. So, yeah.
Are you going to get some Plowburger when you go back to Austin?
Well, see, I'm supposed to be on cut. I'm supposed to be like being not eating 1,000-calorie burgers. So, like, you know, it really depends upon how I feel at that time and how excited I am about that. But also, gotcha. Probably going to go and have at least one meal with Cadre, and I don't know where we're going to go for that. So, I don't know. It's probably going to be somewhere local to the event. I don't think we're going to be driving very far. And it's not in Austin proper. It's outside. I have to look up that address, but I think it's like 20 or 30 minutes away from Austin. So,
yep.
Yeah.
But anyway,
I'm still really hung up on the idea that your cadre, which I assume is like just the leader, the instructor.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Just pointing out things on the side of the road. Are they things that they place there, or is this an elaborate yard furniture stealing venture? Is that how you fund the events? Just taking people's patios, sofas and stuff?
No, basically what happens is usually we are like in a park or something, and we'll pick up a dead tree or something in the park or a telephone pole or whatever, carry it around and put it back.
Gotcha.
And then, like, also because it's kind of like, what are all these people with rucks doing walking around, marching, you know, in a giant group? Like, they always call the cops and let them know, you know, so they don't freak out and go, why are there people marching on the streets?
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, so that's no big deal. But yeah, like, they know what we're doing and everything, so they leave us alone and it's all good. So
nice.
Yeah, so 30 miles in the heat. By the way, the heat index this weekend was 113, I believe, is what I was told, during one of the two events that I was doing.
Holy shit.
So, yeah, but my hydration was on point. My foot care was on point. Nary a blister do I have.
Nice.
I'm fine.
30 miles and no blisters.
Yeah, but I did get a bunch of splinters in my hands during the PT portion because I did not know there were little stickers in the grass that we were in at that time, and my bag, which had my gloves, was very far away. That's not going to be happening again the next time we do PT. I don't care what it is or where it is, I'm going to put the gloves on.
That's miserable.
So that was fun trying to pick out all of those splinters. I think I've got them all now.
I saw your post about thinking you had it done and then finding more.
Oh yeah, I did, because I was like picking up a weight trying to do my workout today. Which, by the way, was leg day, which made me laugh. I'm like, oh, leg day after I should hold this crap on. Sure, why the hell not?
Yeah.
So, yeah, but it's fine. I did it. It's all good. But when I was picking up weights, right when I was getting everything ready to do my deadlifts and stuff, I was like, oh, a pain. there's another splinter. Damn it. Like, it's not these like, stupid things.
It's not like you need to grab things hard to lift.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, the splinters are real deep where they are, so I have to get like a needle and dig them out first.
Yeah.
So that's my life. Digging out splinters, lifting heavy things, and walking in directions. So.
Yeah. Cool. Well, is that all for the for your banter portion?
That's about as much exciting stuff as I can talk about at this juncture. Although I do have a Rami story, though. Rami has stopped being a naughty boy and dumping on me.
Good.
But what he does now is he has decided that he likes to sit in my lap on a tissue. And this is like his nest. And he is very comfortable in my lap sitting on a tissue.
Awesome.
And he will just sit there and cuddle and snuggle up and just be there happily. Aww. For like as long as I will sit there and let him sit in my lap.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a lap bird, guys.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I posted many a picture. I will pull one for you so you can see the very cuteness of the Rami sitting on my lap, because it's like he will just seriously just chill forever.
Extremely good.
But yes, yeah. He is a good, good boy. Now that he's not mad at me anymore.
Yes.
So.
Oh, look at him. Yeah.
Yeah.
How are you, Ben?
I'm doing okay. I was thinking of a segue I could talk about my endurance challenge that I had over the weekend, which was buying 4 chairs from IKEA, figuring out how to fit them in my car, and then carrying them up to my apartment.
Oh, wow.
Nowhere near as difficult as any of the rucking challenges, but no. For somebody out of shape, then maybe.
What kind of chairs? Were they like upholstered chairs they just, okay. So
yeah,
holy shit.
Then that's a lot to try to get those into a car and then up through some stairs. Cause you have something that awkward and unwieldy, even if it's not fully assembled, like that's still difficult.
It was some fun, Jenga situation, trying to figure out the space and everything. Yeah. But I have some people coming to visit over the next few months, like one a month for 3 months. So I'm trying to get like a gaming table and some chairs set up in the kitchen area so that I can entertain people while they're here. So,
well, that's nice.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And then in other exciting weekend news, I taught some people to play the board game Gaia Project, which is like one of my favorite board games. So I took it to board game club, and so I was happy about that. And then the last thing is I went to see Flying Lotus last night. He had a concert in Seattle, and it was the first concert I've been to where they just passed out 3D glasses at the door, and the entire show you wore 3D glasses, and there's like a projection screen behind the guy who's DJing, so it was pretty sweet.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
So I had a nice and productive weekend. So my apartment is the cleanest that it's been. So I'm happy about that.
God, it's such a weight. It's such a weight lifted off when you just decide I'm going to do a month's worth of cleaning over 2 hours.
Yeah.
No.
So I think the impetus for it was we were moving desk at work. And so Friday we were quote unquote working from home. I don't think anyone from my work listens to this podcast. So basically, that was my weekend, was that Friday, and then Saturday and Sunday I actually did productive things and cleaned up the apartment. So, yeah.
Very cool. Nothing terribly exciting here. I've been, because of family stuff, I've been spending a lot of time at a hospital, which I say not for sympathy, but just like, oh, there's not an awful lot you can do for that. On my way back, so a few weeks ago, Ben, you talked about eating an Impossible Burger.
Yeah.
I have one of those too over my birthday, which happened, I think, since the last time I was on the show. But anyway, continue your story.
No, I just wanted to check in, with Impossible Burger stories. I was driving and I passed a Burger King and I was like, okay, I'm gonna need to eat something. I hear they have those. So I drove by, they had it. So I got an Impossible Whopper, usual order, just no cheese, lettuce and onion. Yeah. It was fine. It was so like the weird thing, like not the weird thing, but the thing that takes a little bit of the point of a little bit of the novelty away is that meat substitute patties, like a black bean burger. Like I like those. Those are good for a change of pace. So it just tasted like a less a less juicy Whopper. Like it had the Burger King smoke flavor and stuff. So I was like, I ate it and I was like, yeah, no, this serves the purpose of a burger, which is to be a vehicle for sauce and a vehicle for lettuce and onions. So
I really, when I had one for my birthday, I was trying it because everybody's like, Jolly, you gotta try one. And I was like, okay, fine. So I went and I had one. And I was like, this is dry.
No.
Is it the Plow Burger an Impossible Burger?
No, it's a Beyond Burger.
Mm. Really?
And it tastes different. So, yeah. You have to go check, motherfucker. I already know.
The reason why I'm checking, the Beyond Burgers are at all the Alamos, but then I thought other places had the Impossible Burger. Okay. Like, I know Hop Dottie's has the Impossible Burger, but I can't remember the Plow
Burger. I went to Hop Dottie's to get one for my birthday, but Plow Burger is the Beyond Burger.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're right.
Go ahead. I know I'm right. Because I fucking read it on their own stuff. Oh my god. Okay. Anyway.
I don't feel like I've had the genuine Impossible Burger experience because somebody else made it, and I think that maybe because it came out of the Burger King processing line and they cooked it, that's why it ended up as dry as it did.
Hop Dottie's is supposed to be a really good burger place, and I had one there and it was still dry. Honestly, the ones that I like best, that they don't try to be 100% meat, you know, like they don't try to taste exactly like meat, but they're very good, is Beyond Burgers, but not the ones in the freezer section. They actually have some that come in a package that looks like, you know, the type that you get regular meat in the meat section. And they literally, in my grocery store, have them in the meat section. And there's like two patties on, you know, some wax paper in a little container. And it says Beyond Burger. And it's like in with the meat. Yeah. And those, if you cook those at home, like throw those in the air fryer and they're really juicy and they taste good. They're really filling. They're great. Those are really good. I mean, like, granted, I like other types of burgers, like black bean burgers and other things like that, for the different flavors. Mm-hmm. But the flavor of that one is really good without trying to be meat.
Yeah.
You know?
I think that,
and I like that because I didn't become vegan so that I can eat something that's fake meat. Like, right. I don't like meat. I don't want meat. So,
right.
You know, but I tried the Impossible Burger because everybody told me that I should try it. I'm like, it's all right. Mm-hmm. It's not my favorite thing.
Yeah.
So
it probably would have been a little bit juicier if I got cheese. However, I generally don't get a cheese on a Whopper. Their cheese is gross. I find personally, and it seems like it would defeat the purpose of the venture.
Well, and the thing is that I got one with vegan cheese at the Hop Dotties, and it wasn't any, you know, any, it was still dry. So I think it's just the burger itself is just dry. They don't have enough oil or enough something in it to make it, you know, the right, I don't know, tenderness or whatever. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. And they're like primarily not a vegetarian place, so it's probably like an afterthought for them. Whereas like Plow Burger is only like a vegetarian burger place, and it's on point.
Yeah. So that's my story. Additionally, I've been spending so much time away from the house because I have some travel coming up. Greta the cat. I try not to talk about her every episode, but it's hard because she's my roommate. So, you know, that's good. She's going to come up. She's not used to me being away is the thing. So like I got back from an especially long stay at the hospital and she was just off kilter. So on the way, I feel ridiculous for this, on the way to the house arriving tomorrow is a special device that, has a camera, and a two-way microphone, so you can, you know, hear her and you can also speak through it using your phone. And then it has a treat dispenser and you can throw treats as if they were Pokemon Go Pokeballs, just so I can check in on her while I'm away.
Can I get a link to this contraption?
So the thing is, I posted about this in the Slack in the live channel, because you know people like talking about pets there, and they're like, oh my gosh, new Patreon tier, give patrons access to that. Said hi, Dr. Veterinarian. This gray beach ball is my cat. See, I hooked her up to the internet, and so,
yeah, exactly. Oh Lord.
Yeah. So. You know, if I'm away for an extended period of time, family comes by and checks in on her. But I just like when I went away for the Midwest Gaming Classic, I felt incredibly guilty leaving her. So I've got I assuaged my guilt with a device that was on sale. So
you should just start traveling with her.
See, yeah, people. I don't know. She's
probably carry-on-able, right?
I mean, physically, yeah. I'd probably have to give her kitty Valium.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a lot of stress for a pet.
Yes. So, and I like a hotel room with all those different people's smells. It's not her territory. Yeah.
I felt bad because when I try and FaceTime with my old roommate in Austin, the dog does not recognize me through that device.
Oh.
So I imagine cats are probably smarter than dogs in that respect, because this dog's not exactly the smartest dog, but. Mm-hmm. I was very saddened by that. I have to actually physically be there to get the love from a puppy.
Yeah, they recognize the smell. When I was away this spring, my niece came over to look at her, and she called me to ask me a question. Greta heard my voice coming out of her phone speaker, and mm-hmm. she went crazy and was like just rubbing her cheeks up against it. So,
aww.
Yeah. So the nice part is, I think the takeaway content wise, because everything is content, EIC, I say, everything is content, is that you can save clips of videos and photos. So if I get anything cute, I'll share them.
Yeah, you should do that during a duck fest, like midway through, just call Greta. So you can just check in on her.
Project it up. Oh, yeah. Poor girl. So that is my story. That is my banter. I think we should get started with the regular kind of show here. We've got the usual stuff. We've got the grind. We've got the multiplayer. We've got the end boss. And why don't we get started with...
The Grind.
The Grind, where we talk about the games we have been playing over the past period of time or so. Jala, you've been away the longest, so what have you been playing?
So, I've been playing Vermintide 2 with Greg, David... and Dulce, but I don't have like anything to say about that. It's a thing. We've talked about it. It's mm-hmm. occurring again. So there.
David's been speaking about it frequently.
Well, that's because he's like really excited about it. And I mean, like, it's a good game. Yeah. But I run out of things to say about it after a certain point. Although it was really funny this last time, because we had to go through and there were like some nasty pustules. It was like this thing where we had to go explode some pustules that were in some kind of underground labyrinth thing for some reason. And anyway, Dulce and I were just both like, ew, this is gross, like the whole time. And I was like, Dulce and I need to like co-op something that has this kind of stuff in it and just be like commenting on it. I think people would enjoy watching us stream that. But I did stream the Vermintide when we did play. So that is archived on my YouTube, which is YouTube Jalachan. Yeah. So because I am Jalachan in places. So there's that. I also streamed when I played Sniper Elite 4, the first mission, with Greg, who has not played a Sniper Elite before. So this was his first experience with that. So the first level was kind of like a teaching experience where I'm trying to tell him a little bit about how to play the game. And we were going through and trying to, you know, like do the mission and stuff. And I was actually proud of myself because I didn't go Rambo. Like, I actually was being really, really patient because I didn't, you know, because he's new to the game. I don't want to like throw him in the middle of hell, you know, when he doesn't know what he's doing. So, you know, but anyway, like we were playing when I was really tired. And then it was funny because he was like, also, you know, I've got that bell curve of my attention span. And if we've been playing long enough, I will just like not pay attention anymore. And I don't give any fucks at that point. So like, at the end, Greg's like, oh, well, that's weird because I did better than you at this, this, and this. It was like, yeah, but I don't really care. that's good for you. Like, good, awesome. But I mean, I'm not playing to get headshots all the time. Like, I don't play to get headshots, and I don't play to get like the best accuracy or whatever. If there's not an ammo shortage, I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't care. I will just play the game. And
I play for body counts.
Yeah, exactly. Like, honestly, if I were playing by myself, that entire map would be wiped. I would murder everyone. But since I wasn't, I did not do.
So you guys are both playing strategies from Predator, just different halves of the movie.
Well, see, the thing is, you know, like, I behaved myself and I didn't use my usual instinct. I instead was trying to go at whatever pace Greg wanted and to do whatever it was Greg wanted to do moving forward. So, you know. But anyway, we finished that mission, and that's all the co-oping that I have done. The rest of what I have done has been playing a lot of Elder Scrolls Blades.
Yeah.
My town, Fireheart, is now level 9. I am level 27. I am about halfway to level 28, and when I get there, I'm going to get to use my Charis armor. And I've got, like, you know, a large number of the pieces already, so I'm waiting. Right now I've got Dwarven Mail, but Charis is, like, 2-3 steps above the Dwarven stuff, so it's, like, a big improvement.
Have you already passed Glass?
Yeah, that's right after Glass.
Gotcha. Okay.
So, because it goes Dwarven, Elven, Glass, then Charis.
Gotcha.
So yeah. But I have to be level 28 to wear it. So that's how they cap some of the higher level armors and stuff like that. You actually have to be a certain level to be able to use it.
Yeah.
So, but it looks pretty badass. I'm looking forward to screenshotting that. But yeah, so in the game, like, I've done some of the story missions, but also I've been doing the daily quests, the challenges they give you in different random jobs. My most favorite thing was that I had a job that, I shit you not, it was defeat the liches and steal their honeycomb.
Is this procedurally generated?
I don't know, but like, I was just like, liches love honeycomb. Yeah. I don't know. Like, okay. So it made me laugh quite a bit. And so I shared that screenshot in all the different places, including on the Level Facebook page. So people have seen that as well. But yeah, it was just great. And I'm like, I had to screenshot it because I'm like, nobody believes me when I tell them, you know, that this quest is like to defeat the liches and take their honeycomb. But yeah, that's totally a thing that happened. So, but anyway.
Nice. So have you managed to avoid giving them money?
I actually did pick up one of their little things at one point, because basically every time your town goes up a level, they will give you the option of getting like what's called an imperial shipment or something like that. And it gives you like a ton of building materials and a lot of gold so you can build stuff or build up your armor and weapons and things like that. And I was just like, okay, that's like actually a lot of stuff. Hmm. And that's a lot of my time that I would have to exchange to get those things. I'm going to go ahead and buy that. So like every time, like, you get your town hits another level, and every time you hit another level, you get different offers. So that's how they try to get you to buy stuff. But like the offers that they give you sometimes are like, here's another decoration for your town. So I don't really care.
Yeah, no.
You know, but, and yes, that thing is definitely, the honeycomb critter.
Oh yeah, I put a link in to the Me Want Honeycomb mascot. The horrifying. Yeah. Is it a Tasmanian devil? I have no idea what the Me Want Honeycomb thing is.
Yeah. But so anyway, yeah. Like I've been having fun with that though. Like it's got enough to it that I'm, you know, not bored of playing it. You know, like the different missions that I've gotten. It has options of how you respond to people in town when they ask you questions. Like, I didn't catch your name, and you can either tell them your name or say, well, that's because I didn't give it to you, you know, and things like that. And I don't know if that has, and then also you also have options of like, do you spare this person or do you kill them? And I don't know if this has any implications for later gameplay stuff or if it's just flavor, you know. I'm not sure yet. I've been murdering some people ruthlessly and then other people I've been sparing. So
I mean, it's an Elder Scrolls game.
Well, you know, it depends on my mood at that particular moment and whether or not they were a snot to me before that.
Of course.
So, so anyway, yeah, I've been having fun with it. And yeah, it's supposed to also be coming out on Switch. And then of all of my data, because it's saved on the Bethesda.net, you know, account, will be transferable so I can pick it up on either device and play it.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
So that's actually pretty cool because I would like to play this on a Switch. I can play it on my phone just fine, though. It's got, you know, pretty good controls and everything, believe it or not. So,
yeah. Awesome. Well, I'm happy you're having fun with that. I just based on kind of the popular narrative around that, you would believe it was just an irredeemable dumpster fire. But
no,
there's good stuff there.
Yeah, and the arena, which is like their PvP equivalent thing, that is still locked. I cannot use that just yet, but that's something that is coming eventually. Like, they've been adding stuff to the game, improving some different elements and tweaking it because it's still early access. They're basically getting everybody who's playing right now's input and then throwing that in the game and, you know, seeing what breaks and fixing it, you know.
Yeah.
All that. So, yeah, so that's what I've been playing when I haven't been, you know, out doing stuff or, you know.
Carrying things for a long way.
Very long way in a very long time. I was up like 36 hours straight. So, I mean, like, you know. So
the honeycomb creature is called Crazy Craving.
What?
Is the name of it. It was introduced in 1995, which feels early to me. Here's something else though. That is not the only kind of marketing gimmick they've had. They have the honeycomb kid before, but I want to draw our attention to Bernard the Bee Boy.
What?
A more recent commercial introduces Bernard, a boy raised by bees. He is found and attempted to be socialized. Although he had clearly been a feral child, he apparently cannot argue the fact that he is a bee, not a boy, and he enjoys honeycombs. In a later commercial, a man gives a safari-like tour of the bee boy, or a safari-like tour for the bee boy, luring him with honeycombs. In a commercial released in 2010, a second B-boy was introduced, played by Canadian actor Joel Cox. Is this a Gridler thing where Bernard the B-boy doesn't actually exist?
I don't know. Like, can you not find an image of him?
Huh. Boy raised by bees. Okay, I can. I can see him. Okay. Whew.
Well,
yeah, no, he is.
Where is it? I'm waiting.
Okay. I mean, here's a video. I'm not going to play it on. I'm not going to play it on the show, but I'll post a link here. He just appears to be a regular.
Oh, okay, yeah.
A regular like a feral poopy head. Feral child, yes. But he was raised by bees. Is Bernard the Bee Boy real? Homegrown farming. Question. Okay. My brother says the boy raised by bees is real. The one from the honeycomb, Cam Marshall. This was asked by Slow3896. This is on homegrownfarming.com. Is Bernard the B-boy real?
Okay.
Sorry, I didn't mean for Abject Suffering to leak here, but I was curious.
I was like, this is totally an Abject Suffering episode now.
Yeah. No, I was curious what the fuck that honeycomb critter was and why he was in league with the liches. But this brought me over to Bernard the B-boy.
Yeah.
Which
also this cannot be Abject Suffering. There is not enough cum this or, you know, like talk being talked about in the show.
Yes.
So
yeah. We're like we don't force that. It just kind of happens naturally.
when your powers combine.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Ben, how about you? What have you What have you been playing?
Yeah, so I continued playing Resident Evil 2 from last week, and I ended up beating it with the Leon run.
Cool.
I started a second run with, I forget her name.
Claire?
Sister. Yeah, that's the one. I think I'm going to play that maybe on easy mode. Like, I don't need to feel stressed anymore with that game.
No,
like,
no.
I beat it once. I've proven that, at least. I don't know.
It becomes a really fun action game on easy because resources get a little bit less scarce. And you can survive more hits, so you can be more reckless.
Yeah, and you can actually, like, kill the things and not have to, like, figure out what you can kill and what you need to run away from.
Yes.
Yeah, but I did like the game. Kind of maintain the same opinion that I had of it last week. I think it's, like, a really, really good, like, $40 game. Yeah, it still feels like a kind of, like, a smaller Resident Evil game, but I think that's only because most of the games that they've made, or at least, like, my basis of reference is, like, 4 and 5 are, like, a lot longer.
Yeah.
And it's, like, kind of like a 5-act structure instead of a 3-act structure that they have. But I still enjoyed it. Like, yeah, it's like the setting's great. The art's great. Man, like the sewers, without spoiling anything, the one room that's like that has red lights on it, you know?
Yeah.
Man, that's a slog, man. That's like the art style is so good because that evokes so much dread. You know? So,
yeah.
Yeah.
That one particular hallway.
Wait, in the sewers?
Yeah.
Is it the same one? Is there a circle at the end of the hallway?
Maybe. I don't know.
Is there a cathartic ending when you come back through the hallway?
You know what? We may be talking about different things.
Two different hallways. All right.
Yeah, two separate incidences.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. I like the game. I do want to see like how the Claire run through differs from the Leon one. Like, I've already gotten into the police station, so I've seen kind of like the difference of time of, you know, like how you get there a little bit later than the Leon storyline. So I'll be interested to see how that fleshed out. You do see Claire at the end of the Leon campaign, and there's certain like questions they raise from the state that they're in. I think it would be cool to play through that. And so I'll probably do that in kind of like my off time, I guess. I don't know. Cole, I guess you've played it 6 times, so you probably don't have any questions about the game.
Warning's probably the wrong word, but don't expect the Claire run to be wildly different or the second run to be wildly different.
Yeah.
Would be to set that level.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair. I don't know. Jala, did you see Cole stream this game or have you played this game?
I played the little intro bit and I asked Cole a bunch of questions when it was pertinent. And I don't know. Did I catch some of your stream about it, Cole, too, also as well, in addition?
You popped in. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I also popped in somewhere in there. So, yeah, I'm satisfied.
Yeah. It's like weird how like the spectrum of the Resident Evil games between like action horror and like survival horror. This is like leaning towards the survival horror side. It seems like the last one was it 7, the one where it's like the VR one or whatever. It seems like that was also leaning towards the horror side over the action side. But yeah, I don't know. It's good. I just wish I was less stressed when I was playing it during most of the parts. I think that probably gets dissipated the more you play it, but the boss fights, a couple of them were a little bit tough, especially if you had like no ammo and you have to like.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. But it had a very. I mean, it was a satisfying ending. I like the Leon Ada storyline because
we don't say her name in front of Jala.
Is there bad blood?
Oh, Jala hates Ada.
All right.
I didn't mean to speak for you, Jala. I apologize.
It's fine.
Yeah, I didn't know much of her backstory because I had only played 4 previously. And there she's just kind of like mysterious woman. Is she in 6 or?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. There's is no that... way that they could have it without putting her in it.
Is that the source of the hatred or?
No, I didn't like her from 4, and I hadn't played through 2 until, like, later after I played 4 already. So I didn't like her from the first time I saw her. Like, she's just, she's too snotty. I don't like, how she's just trying to be like, oh yeah, I'm so awesome and stuff. And generally, like, she just frustrates me.
Yeah.
So I just don't like her attitude in general.
So. Yeah. I mean, I definitely agree. That's kind of like what her character is all about. Yeah. I don't know.
Hence why I don't like the character.
Fair.
What else?
Yeah, that's pretty much all I've been playing. I haven't played as much Assassin's Creed in the last week, so I don't know if I'll go back to it or not. So we'll see.
Gotcha. I've got two.
What you got?
First one here, new game that I streamed this past weekend that was a real disappointment to me, actually, called Helltown.
Okay. I was really worried for a second.
No,
that
oh,
was
no.
Gonna be the other game you streamed.
No, because I started streaming The Last of Us, and that remains a triumph, even 5 years on from when I initially played it. Helltown. So this came to my attention a while back. Somebody in the Hexcrank channel linked to it because we were talking about kind of games with the PS1 aesthetic. I think this was shortly after Paratopic was released. And, maybe it was Eric, maybe it was Zombie Chocobo who posted about it. Regardless, I was really excited because it looked pretty neat. It's a small game. It's a brief game. The concept is that you are a mailman who is assigned to a new town. It's like the small town, this new development. And you go there and it takes place over the course of like 3 days and then one very long night at the end of that, where you discover, as you're doing these deliveries in the first day, that something is terribly, terribly wrong here. And it ultimately goes down to, there's a church and a cult and there are monsters, about at night, things like that. So it kind of goes back and forth between being something that wouldn't be amiss, like on itch.io, or itch.io rather, as like a, walking around exploring things kind of horror game. However, there are times, when you're doing more than just getting off kilter dialogue or looking at cool imagery, there are monsters around and you have to navigate, around them and hide from them and try not to get hit, etc. This latter part, where it is most like a game, is where it becomes a very, very bad game, because the checkpointing is atrocious. And if you are seen, the monster will run right up to you and kill you in two hits. Also, if you're running while they hit you, you will go to a walk and it takes time to get back up to a run. At which point they will surely hit you again. So it is get seen, then die. So incredibly frustrating. I hesitate to call it difficult because, as the crow flies, if you executed this, it would be fine. Right. However, just it's stealth based and sometimes you'll be walking in a dark area and you'll just stumble right on top of something that'll kill you. Without giving you a chance to get away from it. I was stubbornly trying to get to the end of this. I did not play it again on the stream to get the better ending, even though I knew how to get it, because I probably made 15, 20 attempts at the final dungeon, something like that, because you would make progress and you would play, for several minutes and then you would die. And it would start you back like what logically should have been three checkpoints ago. Yeah.
Yeah, that's frustrating.
So I stubbornly finished it. If I was not playing it on a stream and I did not feel bound by some kind of perverse honor to finish it, I would have put it down, because for as many, good ideas as are in it, there's, the monster design is pretty cool. And, there are some visual tricks that happen with the town itself that, are pretty impressive. And just the general aesthetic, being kind of a low poly game with low res textures on those low polys. It's not something you generally see quite a lot of. I was giving it an awful lot of leeway, even when I knew it was not necessarily the best. but kind of the last quarter to third of the game is kind of unforgivable, and I cannot recommend somebody play it.
Well, you're doing the Lord's work by playing it in front of 20 people so that they can know not to play it.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, the nice part is I got to try out my new little dingus here that plays that'll switch scenes. I set up I made new cards for setup and BRB. I've got sound effects, you know, stuff like that. So that was neat to try out, but not necessarily the best experience on that.
At least you streamed a better game the next night.
Yes. And then I picked up and played The Last of Us. And if I have any kind of new revelations about that, I'll save that until after I finish it. Any questions about Helltown?
No.
Yeah. The other game that I've played is Dragon Quest Builders. I played a little bit of this back on PS Vita. I think I had the demo on there, so I didn't necessarily get very far. This is a side game in the Dragon Quest series. Dragon Quest Builders 1 came out a few years ago. Dragon Quest Builders 2 came out here recently, but I kind of wanted to play both of them, so I started with the first one. And it is really, really neat. So there's not an awful lot like new to speak of here. It is taking the Dragon Quest kind of aesthetic and sense of humor from the later games, you know, and also the monster designs and things like that. And it puts it into this third person action RPG where you are going around doing Minecraft style building, and collecting resources and doing crafting and things like that. While also trying to the idea is it takes place after the bad ending of Dragon Quest 1. Where if you agree to side with the Dragon Lord, it gives you a choice at the end of it. And you know, at the end of that game, if you side with him, you know, like, oh, and the world descended into darkness or whatever. Here, it's, you know, many, many years later, all of the cities in the world have been destroyed and humanity has forgotten how to make things. But you kind of wake up in this tomb and you are the only person who can build. So you go to the ruins of the town of Cantlin, and you know, you meet somebody and you're given a quest by the deity who woke you up to basically start rebuilding the earth with your skills. What's neat about it is your level is not pinned to how many things you kill. Your level is actually pinned to the size and intricacy of your town and how many people live there. So as you build like new workshops and houses and get more people in and unlock recipes to make new things like decorations, everything you put down increases your character level, which lets you explore further and get new stuff.
Are there like smoker? I don't know if that's the right term or not. Are there creepers? Equivalents to the bad guys? Yeah.
They're enemies. Nothing that I've seen so far that blows stuff up. But I am just kind of near the end of the first chapter. They are long chapters, but I've not seen anything that blows stuff up.
Okay.
You do have enemies. Like you end up having to defend your town from these waves of enemies that come in, and you build like enforcements. So you build like walls, put spikes at the base of them and stuff like that. Yeah. I wish it wasn't as talky as it is, honestly. You know, you
don't
end up,
talk to me.
What?
Don't talk to me.
I do
enough of that for a living. I don't want to hear you anymore.
Well, it's a little bit like they use it as an opportunity to bring you inessential text that is not jokes, but has the cadence of jokes. You know, so like when you go up and you talk to somebody, you say like, oh, I really wish I had a bedroom of my own. There'll be this, they'll take like three times as long to say it. Have text in your RPG. That's fine. This is just not, it doesn't feel necessary or like it's additive. So I end up kind of tapping through it and then looking at the quest and the kind of log kind of deal Wait, no, I forgot. There is no log. They just walk around with a little icon above their head when they have a quest that's unfulfilled, and they will give you like a one or two text box kind of question, like, "Oh, did you build that workshop yet?" Like, "Oh, they need a workshop." Gotcha. Okay. You could have just said that.
Jala, did you ever get to the point where you skipped dialogue in Octopath Traveler, or did you see it through to the end?
You remember I stopped playing that game because of the grinding aspect at the end game.
Yeah. Did you did you still follow the character? Yeah.
Yeah, I followed the character stories until the point that I stopped playing. Yeah.
Okay.
You never never ran out of patience for the story.
I had a similar problem with that game where I would start skipping through dialogue.
Yeah. Yep.
Understandable.
I just want to get in there and, you know, like build little model cities and stuff. I'm not necessarily there for jokes that are not actually jokes. Yeah. But it's neat. It's a, it is a fun and cute little game. And I'm looking forward to, you know, seeing more of it.
Woo woo.
Light week.
Yeah, that's fine.
Multiplayer.
Now it is time for the multiplayer. Let's see here. Dennis put this question out, so I will go ahead and read it here. We're getting creative this week. Create a new game by changing, adding, or removing one letter from the name of an existing game. An example, God of Par instead of God of War sees Kratos hitting the back nine to work on a different kind of slice than he's used to. That is very good. Make a name and describe the game to be featured. And this is already, there's already some really good stuff here. So
I want to point out that the picture for the God of Par has Kratos with a golf club that is made out of a chain that's tied to his wrist.
It's very pretty, good.
Pretty on point.
Is that from Everybody's Golf? Did they, I need to see if they actually added Kratos to Everybody's Golf. That seems like something they would do. Let's see, Jala, what does Casey say?
Casey says, Assassin's Breed, Fire Emblem romance and generational breeding game mechanics combined with open world assassinating.
Hmm. I like that. Ben, what does Greg say?
Bark Souls, a noble quest against evil forces to save the souls of dogs for a great barking dog god or to save the skin of trees. Take your pick.
There are no worthy trees in Dark Souls, so
I have a hard time reading dog god because it's a palindrome and I feel like I'm saying the wrong word each time.
Yes.
it is a two word tongue twister. Good.
We could hear your dilemma.
Brian gives one that I would absolutely play. Mario Mart, a shopkeeper simulation game in the Paper Mario universe. That needs to be a thing. I full stop.
I don't know why it isn't a thing. I mean, like, you would think they would have made it.
Yeah. Let's see. Jala, what does Devin say?
Devin says, The Elder Rolls series is a fast-paced RPG baking sandbox.
Hmm. Quite good. Also, I would also accept a bowling game, a fantasy bowling, kind of along the idea of Rollers of the Realm would be a different thing, but fantasy bowling with RPG elements.
Well, you could also do like a Katamari Damacy thing with it.
Just roll up every single thing in Skyrim.
Yes.
Sounds good.
You just max out your sneak and then you walk down to the end of the lane and knock over all the pins every time.
I like that quite a bit. Ben, what does Ollie say? This one depresses me.
Ollie says Mega Man. It's a visual novel like Danganronpa, but you win debates about what constitutes a right in your country. You can also investigate the background of other characters for .. reasons you don't need to talk about on your American-based podcast. Oh, no.
Well, yeah, he is in
Ireland, right?
He is.
Man. Anyway, I don't want this to turn into the last episode. So I'll pick us up with Martinus. Martinez. Martinez says, Winecraft. Time to spend hundreds of hours meticulously designing the perfect winery and maintaining your vineyard. This is a game that just recently came out. There's a management sim where you build a, where you build and maintain a winery or a vineyard. Yeah, I need to look up the name of it. Let's see here. Jala, what does Lindsay say?
Lindsay says, joke answer, President Evil. Add your own damn jokes about Trump here. Now, the real answer, Resident Live. In Resident Live, you are a zombie and have to get back to life by killing everybody that gets in your way of getting the cure to go back to human form.
Is that what they're all doing?
Now you
know. It turns out we're the monsters.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
We were the monsters all along.
I am Legend? Ben, what does Austin say?
Austin says, Shadow of Arg. We follow our brave Talion as he battles the British and other pirates with the trusty elf wraith. Tell us sweet pirate lore.
Maybe Shadow of War? What?
I was. I guess it's one letter off and then move to the end. So,
okay. Yeah. I'll allow it. Yeah, I wish I knew more about Shadow of Mordor or Shadow of War that I could yes and that, but I cannot. Let's see here. Adam says Wario Kart is a WarioWare version of Mario Kart. Short one lap races with random twists to gameplay. Maybe horses instead of carts. Maybe oval shaped wheels or even reverse controls. That sounds really good, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I like that quite a bit.
Why doesn't that exist?
Yeah. Y'all have good ideas.
Who wants to prepare the email to Nintendo after this recording?
We have two ideas that we will take credit for. Yeah. Special thanks to. Oh, God. Let's see. Jala, what does Mike say?
Mike says, an adaptation of John Steinbeck's classic, The Grapes of Wrath, in which its main character travels from Oklahoma to California solving puzzles while wearing a heavy backpack. I give you Captain Jode.
Literary. I like that. That is good. Oh, Jesus. Hey, Ben, what does Marisan say?
Marisan says, oh, no. Grand Theft Auto, Rice City. Why are you giving me all these? An action-filled epic where you take on the role of Tommy Vermicelli, who wakes up to find himself surrounded by the Rice Lords, the local gang who needs Tommy's help to take down the rice economy in order to create an oligarchy run by the Rice Lords.
Oh, just a city of starch.
All right, I like... Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, Tom and Verminselli is a good pun.
Let's see. What were you going to say, Jala?
I like Jairus's answer.
Yes. Jairus says, ball out. It's a post-apocalyptic basketball game. Hell yeah.
Yeah. Awesome.
I like Kian's. Jala, what does Kian say?
Headspace. Isaac Clarke finally decides to see a therapist.
Very good.
It's a better solution than what he ended up doing in the video game series.
just delving deeper and deeper into the madness.
Just killing everything. Yeah.
Let's see. Jala, what does Bill say?
I get two.
Sorry. This will be you, Ben. Ben, what does Bill say? These are so short that I keep losing track.
Bill says, Ringsfield 4 Tails goes to Helladin. I don't know what this is a plan.
Tails is Sonic. Rings is reference to Sonic.
Oh, yeah. And then
and then Kingsfield.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. It lines up.
Also, I'll continue reading his other answers.
Yeah.
And other comments.
Yeah. Go ahead and hit all these.
Also says, Bears of War. Sees ultra buff furries in full regalia fighting against the locust horde using chainsaw bayonets.
Sure.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then last answer from is, and my personal favorite, Halo Roach, where all the scarabs, banshees, wraiths, warthogs, etc. are replaced with Geralt of Rivia's horse that can shoot plasma out of its face. On the, board with that.
But there are no there are no animations. Oh, man. Let's see here. Casey says, Dart Souls. The VR-based throwing weapons only Dark Souls game.
I love that there are a lot of people doing multiple answers here, because Casey snuck in like a second time. He answered first, so. And Bill got a couple in there. Three in there. So people like this question.
Let's see here. And then Jala finishes out with Nathan.
Fired Emblem, a middle management tactics RPG in which you strategically lay off more and more subordinates while trying not to get fired yourself. Features a robust office romance system. Woo, date, and eventually fill out HR forms stating your relationship will not affect your job performance.
That's awesome.
Yeah, nice. That's pretty good.
Yeah. So normally I'm very good at these, but I just, there are too many options. So I'm going to go with one of the first ones I thought of, Hitman, HIP man. He sneaks around, just changing people's, manner of dress, gives them new clothes, slips some new music into their car stereo in order to make people think that they're cooler than they are. Yeah. Kind of lame, but that's my, that's all I got.
I like it.
Yeah. Jala, how about you?
I've got a couple of answers. So the first one is Legacy of the Gizzard, a dungeon crawler through a bird's digestive tract.
Yay!
The second one is Shining Horse, a strategy RPG for bronies.
Is that all?
That's it. Nice. I got a couple.
No, so you said a couple. I've had this problem since childhood where a couple and a few is synonymous in my mind. I think maybe because somebody told me that. So whenever somebody says a couple and they mean two, it always throws me off. Let's see. Ben, how about you?
I also have two. Halo Combat Devolved, where you can just only use the melee button in Halo. And then the other one was the fitness, where you can do puzzle games, but only if you're walking at the same time.
Nice.
Very cool. Well, thank you to Dennis for putting that up and for kind of putting us on the spot. That was hard. However, everybody delivered. They're not just like good jokes. Greta, go away. They're not just good jokes.
I felt so bad about leaving her. Greta, get out of my face.
Daddy's working. Podcasting right now.
No, I saw an opportunity for funny and I took it. No, they're not just good little puns, but also like some actually good game concepts here. Yeah. So Yahtzee on you. So thank you for participating. If you would like to take part in the future, go to facebook.com/thelevelpodcast and watch for the prompts to go up on Monday afternoons.
The end boss.
Now it is time for the end boss. Hopefully it won't be a half hour like last time's was. I haven't seen the response to it. I hope it was okay. I chucked that one out like a grenade and hoped that it would not hurt anybody. Good.
We don't have the super super talky people on tonight. I don't think we're gonna. we're efficient.
Yep.
We'll be in and out. We'll be done.
Yes.
Cool. Let's do it.
Jala, what is the story that you brought?
I just brought a story about a shop in Seattle that ended up getting a 13,000 piece of video game history in an old grocery bag of NES games that the guy like who worked in the shop was going through this bag that this 30-something-year-old came in with and like was just like, these were all the most boring games ever, but at the very, very bottom was a Nintendo World Championships 1990 cartridge, and that was originally produced for the competition and like later was also made in gold to give away for a Nintendo Power magazine contest. Mm-hmm. And it's like only about, well, less than 200 copies actually are believed to still exist worldwide. And this was actually like a real one, not like a jank one. They actually opened it up and were like, no, this is the real thing. And this guy, like, they could have gotten it from this guy for, you know, $20 or even a dollar, and the guy would have had no idea. But they actually gave him $13,000 for it, and then they turned around and sold it to someone, and they didn't disclose how much they sold it for.
Okay, but, yeah. Probably to spare that guy's feelings, but at least they treated him fair.
Yeah,
they did. They gave him like a good amount of money for the game, and then they turned around and they sold it. And of course, they sell it at a profit. Although we don't know how much of a profit, but within 24 hours they sold it. But they ended up finding that in, you know, this super unassuming thing.
Yeah, I bet that guy didn't expect to get a used car's worth of money out of that.
Right, and then like. There was also another bit at the end of the story that said that, like, the week before that, a man from Reno, Nevada found a sealed copy of Kid Icarus for the NES in his attic that he didn't know about, and it sold on auction for $9,000. So
crazy.
Yeah. Those old-ass video games, man.
There's gold. So,
yeah.
Gold in them, their attics.
Sometimes literally, because that one was actually made in gold. So. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Very nice. Yeah. Lucky them. This is that is a feel good story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. Another feel good story about something that was once lost, but is now coming back. Well, what's your story, Ben?
Yeah. So they're bringing back the board game Dune. So I just heard about this now. I didn't know A, that it was out of print, and then B, that there is coming back, but they displayed it at Gen Con recently, so maybe Dennis saw it. Mm-hmm. I've actually seen this game, though. The game group I went to in Vegas, they brought it one week, and they had like 5 or 6 people play it. I didn't know it was such a big deal, so I was about to have like a lot of regret for not like jumping on the chance to playing it, but since it's coming back in print, that's fine. Like, I can just play it later. But this seems really awesome. So it's been out of print. It was first published like 40 years ago, and then it's been out of print. So I think like a lot of people have kind of collect, similar to like the NES games, like people have kind of scoured for this and collected for this.
Yeah.
But they have I think it's Gale Force 9 or a games publisher has an agreement with the Herbert Estate to bring it back in print. And apparently they're when they went to revise some of the rules of the game, like they said it was pretty well set up already. So they only made like minimal changes to the game rules. And then I think the artist who did the original artwork for it said that he was fine like selling the rights for the art for it so that they could print it again. So it seems like everything's good to go for reprinting it. So this seems sweet. This is on the back of me finishing the first book and then coming out before the movie comes out next year. Mm-hmm. So this seems sweet.
Nice. Just nothing but green lights.
Yeah.
You always hate when you see a story like this where there's just like one holdout in the intellectual property chain.
Yeah.
No, that was going to be my question. If they were going to be updating it, because I mean, video games have come a long way. Video games, board games have come a long way in the past 10 years, let alone the past 40. So,
yeah. I think probably there's a good cross like nerd pattern with people who have like are really deep into strategy games and also really deep into science fiction. Maybe there's a commonality there, but yeah,
I could see it. Into it.
Cool.
And then my story is very short, very brief, which is, you know, I'm always amazed at the mods that come out for Super Mario Odyssey. Like, people have good and funny ideas. Sometimes they make the game weirder. This one is one of those. There is a mod developer named Eminem, not the rapper, M&M, who has put out a mod that removes Mario's mustache, and it makes him look weird. And that is the story.
Yeah.
And it's not okay.
Don't do this to Mario, please.
His face looks so cold.
I like how the subtitle for this is "I have no mustache and I must scream."
Yeah, woohoo. it's just weird because, you know, you can tell when you look at his design, especially in the old sprites, like he doesn't have a face without that mustache. And with the added fidelity, there's something about him that looks very uncanny. The mustache is kind of the linchpin that holds everything together. So if you want to make turn Mario Odyssey into a horror game, this is the way to do it. Oh, how do you all feel about bundling it up?
I feel buttons.
the credit.
Thank you so much for listening to level number 296. That was a shorter episode, but I feel like we said what we needed to say.
Yeah. We just balanced out for last week.
Yes. So we'll be back next time with more fun. Please go to Apple Podcasts. I always forget the name of the app. Everything is changing. Good Apple Podcasts, and leave us a rating or review. It's really appreciated. We really appreciate it when you do that to remove the passive voice there. It's the biggest thing. Also telling friends and just coming back next week. That's what I want to leave you with, right now. So, I've been Cole Ross. You can watch my streams on Twitch at Duckfeed TV.
I'm Jalachan in places.
And I'm Ben Merkel at Merkleby on Twitch.
And stick around for some titles. That went by so fast that I didn't write any down.
Nor did I.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no, did nobody write down a title? And we have literally no titles this time?
Yeah. Yep.
Just call it Untitled.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Untitled.
Go for it.
That'll be fun. But, I think that's what the CMS defaults to, so people think it's weird until they hear this.
Yeah. That's fine. Yeah, like there were some things that were funny, but I didn't write anything down because I didn't do any prep because I didn't even know I was podcasting.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. Thank you for coming off the last minute.
A surprise, yeah, everybody.
I hope David's okay.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
We'll find out, I guess.